I want to thank you for joining me again today. Last week, we began a series of lessons on the Christian home and family. In that lesson, we noticed that the marriage is not an institution that has been created or designed by mankind or the government, therefore making it subject to altercation by whatever society wants to say about marriage. But rather, marriage is a sacred institution. It was instituted by God from the very beginning of creation. It was regulated by Jesus and his apostles throughout the Word of God, and is reserved for that sexual intimacy between a man and a woman, and not between two men or two women. So really, marriage is a successful institution. I mean, anything that God has ever instituted has been successful. And when we follow the biblical injunctions about the marriage, it's going to be successful. And when members of the family fulfill their proper roles, it's going to be successful. Preventing marriage and family from becoming an emotional and psychological straitjacket, or as society and comedians would say today, that old proverbial ball and chain, and the source of a lot of strife and hurt in one's life, makes it a successful institution. Now, what are the biblical injunctions concerning the proper roles of the members of the family? Well, there are more than one member of the family. The first one we're going to consider today is the husband, the duties that he has. His first duty is to love his wife. The Bible tells us that husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. In Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 25, Paul writes, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this way, in this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church." So, what kind of love did Christ have for the church? Well, he gave himself up. He died for the church, and he nourishes and cherishes the church. And that's what Paul says the husband is to do. He is to love his wife as his own body, and they nourish and cherish and will handle with care their wives. Colossians 3 and verse 19 said it's free from bitterness. There is to be no resentment or hate, which is often accompanied with wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, as Paul would speak of in Ephesians 4 and verse 31. So husbands are to love their wives. How are they to love their wives? Well, with the Greek word agape, they are to love their wives with agape love, an active goodwill, or a sacrificial love. And that's what Paul said in Ephesians 5 and verse 25. He said, "Love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." That is defined, that kind of love is defined in 1 Corinthians 13, where Paul speaks, beginning in verse 4, he says, "Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away." This is the same sort of love that we are to have toward God and all men. But then there's a phileo love, that sentimental, affectionate love, as Paul described in Ephesians 5 and verse 29, as one has for their own body. So husbands are to love their wives with a phileo love as well, which is described there in verse 29 of our text, how he loves his own body. But it's also the kind of love that parents would have for their children, Ephesians 6 and verse 4. And then there's the eros love. He is to love her with that. It is a sexual love. Paul again addresses this in Ephesians 5 and verse 31, rather, where he says they are joining together as one flesh. He speaks of it in 1 Corinthians 7, verses 2 through 5, where he says that it is providing physical attention and affection due the wife. So, husbands have a duty to love their wives in every way, and they also have a duty to respect their wives. They respect their wives by how they treat them. Peter says in 1 Peter 3 and verse 7 that they are to treat them with understanding. The English Standard Version says, in an understanding way. The New International Version says of this passage that we are to be considerate as husbands. Learn what makes her tick and treat her accordingly. But also Peter goes on in chapter 3 and verse 7 there of the first letter and says that we are to treat her with honor. The Proverbs 31 woman in verse 28 said she is praised in the gates. We are to put her on a pedestal, but not to be ridiculed publicly. Peter also goes on to say in 1 Peter 3 and verse 7 that we are to respect her as the weaker vessel. Not that your wife may actually be the weaker vessel, because many wives are spiritually stronger and some may even be physically stronger, but you are to treat her as a weaker vessel. In other words, treat her like china and not some piece of heavy iron. Don't be like a bull running wildly through a china shop. We're to respect our wives, as we said, by how we treat them, but also by how we view them. Again, Peter says in 1 Peter 3 and verse 7 that she is a fellow heir of the grace of life. Christ died for her as well. And if she is a Christian, then she is a beloved sister in Christ and worthy of respect, with whom you should hope to spend eternity. Peter goes on in that same passage in 1 Peter 3 and verse 7 and says that we are to view them as one who affects the efficacy of our prayers. She can hinder or help our prayers, he's saying. And we view her in this way as how we treat others has a bearing on our prayers, according to Mark 11 and verse 26. God is not going to listen to our prayers if we mistreat our wives. Mark down Malachi 2, verses 13 through 16, and read this when you have an opportunity. To our duties as husbands now, we are to love and respect our wives. So let's add one more point. We are to support our wives. We are to support them by providing for the family. The husband and the father has the duty to provide for his family. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. Failure to do so is to deny the faith, the doctrine of Christ. That's what the passage says. Unbelievers and most creatures provide for their own. I mean, you look at the animal kingdom. They provide for their own. A man should not take a wife unless he is willing and able to support her financially, but also by letting her contribute. The virtuous woman contributed a lot to the support of the family. Read about the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31. She not only took care of the house and the family, but she also provided income for the family. And it says in verse 31 of that text that she had a wise husband who let her contribute, and he was to be praised for it, as well as she. But of course, it's not to the neglect of the family duties that she has. She is to be a keeper at home. Proverbs 31, verses 21 and 27. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 14. Titus 2, verses 4 and 5. So what have we seen today? The Christian husband is a man who loves his wife in every way. He respects his wife by how he treats her and views her, and he supports his wife financially, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. When Paul wrote there in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, he said, if a man won't provide for his own, he's worse than an infidel or an unbeliever. There are a lot of things that a man must do, a husband must do, in support of his wife and his family. Now, This is because the Christian husband is a man who, first of all, is a Christian. Secondly, he is a husband. And he is a person that gladly accepts what the Bible has told him to be as a husband. When you look at the world doesn't tell you this. The world tells you that you're in this world to get the most out of what you can get. But when you look at the Word of God and prayer for the strength he needs to fulfill this duty, that's the sign of a true husband. When a man is a Christian husband, let me restate that. When a man is a Christian husband, he is more likely loved and respected by his wife. And she is more likely the sort of wife that she should be. And then the children are more likely going to be what they should be. Now, in our next lesson, we're going to consider the duties of wives. But I want you to think about something in the meantime, as they say, food for thought for the husbands. We noticed the Ten Commandments of a good marriage last week. I want to give you Ten Commandments of husbands. Number one, you shall not take your wife for granted, but honor and respect her as your equal. 1 Peter 3 in verse 7. Number two, your highest allegiance, except for God, shall be to your wife, not your relatives, not your fishing buddies, not your golf buddies or whatever, or friends. Genesis 2 and verse 24. Number three, you will frequently tell her how important and valuable she is to you. Philippians 2 and verse 3. Proverbs 31 verses 10 and 11. You will hold your wife's love by the same means that you want it. Song of Solomon 5, 10 through 16. Number five, you will actively establish family discipline with your wife's help. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. Number six, remember to do all the little things for your wife when she will say you will. Matthew 5, verse 37. Number seven, keep your eyes on your wife and not your neighbor's wife. Proverbs 5, verses 15 through 20. Number eight, you shall make every effort to see things from your wife's point of view. Genesis 21 and verse 12. Number nine, you shall not fail to kiss your wife every morning. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 1. And number 10, you will not be stingy with your wife when it comes to money. Esther 5 and verse 3. There Esther was promised up to half of the kingdom of whatever she wanted. This series of lessons is designed because our society tells us that the world is okay. But when you watch the news and everything around us, the world seems to be on fire. I want to thank you for being with me again this morning. If you have any questions, you can look me up on Facebook. You can look up the Eastside Church of Christ on Facebook. You can also look us up at churchateastside.com. We will be live streaming our sermons. So if you would go to the church website, churchateastside.com, scroll down and watch live. Our services are live streamed at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. for the time being. And we would be glad to have you join us. We would be glad to have you comment on anything, either on a radio program or any sermons that you might watch on a live stream. Again, thank you for being with me today.